Hello and welcome to the Hong Kong Football Podcast. I'm Jonathan White, and with me, as ever, is Dr. Tobias Zusa. Toby, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's the World Cup. It's winter, but it's the World Cup.
Are you boycotting it?
I'm not there. I'm sat with you in Hong Kong.
It's boycott enough.
it feels like a boycott. I guess everyone in Hong Kong is boycotting it because the representative team are not there.
Exactly.
China are not there. Big Brother, classic, not there. Never there. 20 years ago, since they were there, the one and only time.
Well, not there yet, to be fair, though, right? Because the World Cup is in Qatar. And as it turned out, the Asian Cup is also going to play there. I think last time we recorded the podcast, we still did not know exactly where it's going to be.
Nope. And now we do. It's in Qatar, where all things will be held from now on.
Yeah. CONCACAF, everything.
Part of their legacy. They have all these grounds and they're very close in proximity, much like Hong Kong football grounds, to be fair. Probably closer, in fact. But yeah, the World Cup is in Qatar. The AFC Asian Cup is going to be in Qatar. That we do know. What we don't know is when it's going to be.
Right. So originally it was scheduled... Originally, when we still thought China was hosting it, they scheduled it for June or July 2023. Now, that seems to be a bad idea now that it is in Qatar because it might be 50 degrees Celsius or so.
They'd have to play at night.
Right.
If they're going to play at all. And that's not going to work out for anyone.
I mean, in Hong Kong, you know, you're used to late night outings. So, big advantage for the home team. They also need to sort out to bring the right national anthems to the Asian Cup. I think by then they should have all been briefed. I just saw they have now regulations for players, what they should do if the wrong national anthem is played. They should do the timeout sign and ask for... Ask for an immediate stop of the anthem being played. So,
well, they've got, you know, some precedent has been set with athletes being upset that the wrong anthem is played. So, you know, maybe this is a way to take a leaf out of Sun Yang's book and make sure the right one's played.
Exactly. But it seems also they have a bit more time to sort it out. So it is expected that the tournament will be pushed to winter 2023-2024. So most likely being in January 2024, even though Qatar still has scheduled the under-23 Asian Cup in January 2024. So who knows?
Who knows, indeed. But we do know it'll be in Qatar. We do know that they know how to put on a tournament. It's probably good that Hong Kong and China are not there, based on how the Asian teams have done so far. Qatar, of course, champions of Asia. They won against all odds in 2019 in neighbouring UAE. But then, you know, they dealt with quite swiftly by Ecuador, even with the helping eyes of VAR stopping one goal. Then Iran lost to England. Iran, you know, generally a strong team in Asia, it's fair to say. So it'd be interesting to see how these, you know, AFC teams get on in the World Cup, because the next World Cup, of course, is going to be 48 teams. Maybe right. China will be there. You know, maybe even Hong Kong with a generational talent. You know, never know.
Never say never. Never say never.
So, yeah, it's interesting to see.
Yeah, and to be fair, also Korea and Japan, they really got very tough groups. But we'll see.
We will see. So going back to the AFC, our favourite organising body of regional international football.
Absolutely.
Well, we don't know when they're going to host the AFC Asian Cup. It also seems like we don't know exactly what's going to go on with club football across the region in the coming years and seasons ahead. What's going on that you know so far of these regional club competitions, of which now we've got the AFC Champions League and the AFC Cup?
Well, it almost looks like that Hong Kong football teams like Kitchi have threatened the Asian world order of football. So given the success of maybe these smaller member associations like Hong Kong, because Kitchi did quite well during the pandemic, exploiting the absence of Chinese clubs or them sending relatively weak teams. Also, Australian clubs were not really represented in full force during, for example, the Asian Champions League group stages. And that allowed them actually to get a lot of points, go up the club ranking quite significantly. And through this, giving Hong Kong, I think for the next foreseeable years, according to the current format, even up to 2 guaranteed group stage spots. So that apparently didn't go well with the member associations that wield the power in the association. So they are now proposing to reduce the number of teams in the ACL from 40 to 24, I believe. And then again, making it more a tournament for the big countries.
So the term that has been used so far is elite.
Right.
And I think it's fair to say that, you know, even on the most positive day, that Hong Kong football clubs are not elite within Asian competition. So they'd be one of the non-elite federations to miss out, you'd assume.
That is to be expected. Hong Kong, the working class of Asian football.
Yeah. So this new bourgeois club football competition. So the ACL will go essentially to become some kind of super league.
It pretty much looks like it. And there will still be the AFC Cup then as a second year tournament. And to make up for all the lost space in the ACL, they even considered to include a third tournament, which I think has not been named yet. Something like Confederation Cup or I don't know what.
The Asia League.
I'm sure they come up with a great name.
The Asia Conference. These are all good names.
The Asian Shield. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, these are all good. If you're out there, AFC, sure you are. Get in touch for some good names. But the AFC Cup, another change for that is it'll stop being regional. So the zones will go and it'll be open, which you imagine will put some financial strain on these clubs.
Right.
Okay, if Kitchy, you know, Hong Kong's powerhouses, certainly with the financial backing, are in there, they might be able to travel all across Asia. But not every team in Hong Kong is going to be able to afford that.
Exactly. And that even, I think, has been a topic in the past for the ACL as well, right? Like having like some teams in there for which it's a huge financial burden to travel like half across the world. Yeah, I don't think that's quite beneficial, given that there will be a lot of smaller member associations like Hong Kong.
Macau.
Not so much money lying around to throw into this.
Well, it'll be interesting. We'll see what shakes out of this. Hopefully good news. It'd be nice if, you know, Hong Kong team won something, even if that is the Silver Shield or whatever we've just decided it's called. So maybe this is, you know, a good future. But, you know, right now it looks like there's a lot of downsides where you could be travelling from the Middle East to Australia. Okay, so now the important stuff, you know, World Cups, Asian Cups, international competitions. None of that's important compared to the Hong Kong Premier League. The domestic game. This is why we're all here, after all. How's the HKPL going so far, Toby?
I almost wanted to say as expected, but maybe not as much after all. We have 2 teams basically competing for the title so far. This is, of course, Kitchy, which so far have been dominating most of the games, and Liman. So they are on equal points. Liman on the top, Kitchy runners-up. The reason for that is just because of the head-to-head result, Liman causing an upset against Kitchy. Then we have a bulk of teams fighting for a space in the ungrateful mid-table. HKFC on spot number 3, which I think is the surprise so far.
I think that is. That's a fair comment. People did expect them to struggle coming up, staying up, if you will. And they've held their own so far. Helped, of course, by some shrewd recruitment.
Yes, absolutely. A very familiar face with the HKFC squad, Paulinho, former Hong Kong national team player. Also, of course, like Paul Oliver Ngwe. Actually, a couple of former international players there. We have Paul Oliver Ngwe, we have Paulinho, we have Chek Sealy. So actually quite some talent in that squad. Of course, we also need to mention that the HKFC is not a fully professional team. So this actually deserves even more respect how far they have got. Compared to the time a few years ago when they first tried out a Premier League campaign and really struggled to stay up, not being relegated. So this time, I think maybe the pandemic helped to kind of weaken competition as well, but really very respectable results so far and great showings. Then we have Southern.
Unpredictable Southern.
The unpredictable Southern. Yeah, they can, on a good day, beat title contender Liman. on a bad day, they might lose to Kitchi 7-0. On another good day, they might hold them to a draw in the senior shield and almost kick Kitchi out of the senior shield. So, yeah, you never know.
Absolutely.
So maybe they even still are a title contender.
Yeah, let's say that.
We shouldn't write them off yet.
Oh, the last thing we want is egg on our faces for writing Southern off. But they've not impressed so far consistently. They've had their moments, but it's not been enough to get them towards the top end of that table just yet.
Then on fifth place, also on equal points with Salvan, is RCFC, the NFT Legends. So we don't know exactly what happened to the NFT business side of things. However, Resources Capital, again, I think a great season so far. 3 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses, solid fifth place. It's more like a Philippe Sarr FC so far. So he has been the shining player, and I think already scored 5 goals. So a lot of credit definitely goes to him. But yeah, I think they could be quite satisfied as well, especially seeing them above Eastern.
Well, yeah, Eastern, I think, have captured the most disappointing title so far this season. If RCFC and HKFC are performing, you know, well above their station and expectations, then Eastern have done the opposite. You'd have expected them in the last few years to be challenging in and amongst the top 2 or 3 teams. Now, you know, the only way seems to be down for them. That's not to say relegation, but, you know, they're heading towards the bottom of the table rather than towards the top. Again, maybe people, you know, saw this happening with the outgoings, the change in personnel over the close season. But still, you know, they are a big name. They're still big enough to warrant, you know, Adidas bothering with kit launches and such things. So a surprise, I would say, and, you know, not a good one.
And you also maybe look for talent in maybe less popular places. And they brought in a player, however, that has some popularity in the nerdy Asian football context.
And also in the, you know, SEO rankings, the search engine optimization. Yeah, if you're looking for a big name player, well, there's few bigger names.
So this is Emilio Estevez.
Not the Emilio Estevez, we should point out. He is a young gun, but he's not the Emilio Estevez.
So he is Emilio Estevez.
Yeah. And to Asian football nerds and non-nerds alike, he is probably the Emilio Estevez.
So he is a Canadian Taiwanese, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
He plays for the Chinese Taipei national team. And through this, got some attention from the Eastern scouts. He so far scored, I think, 1 goal? No, 2 goals, I think.
Bagged a brace, collectively.
Yes, exactly. So it looks like a great signing. Nothing wrong with that. But also kind of underlines the point that Eastern at the moment might not have too much money to spend or bring in marquee players of that sort to that team. And I think, as the coach mentioned at the beginning of the season, it will just be a season of survival, really. So there are no title ambitions or no ambitions for any kind of silverware. Speaking of no ambitions, we then have Rangers and Taipo. You just have the feeling that, I mean, they are happy to be in the league, but I mean, they don't have yet serious ambitions here for investing a lot currently into a very competitive squad. However, they pick up their occasional points and definitely also draw still a line between what I would consider the still competitive teams in the league with the bottom two that so far have not picked up any points. And this is the Hong Kong under 23. I would not call it the brilliantly named Hong Kong under 23 team because there is some issue with that. And also Sham Shui Po. Sham Shui Po at the moment at the very bottom, conceded 25 goals, only scored 1, lost all of their 6 games. And so far also Kenneth Kwok, who took over, has not turned things around yet. So it might have not been a coaching problem after all.
No, it's definitely a problem.
It's a problem.
And we'll see in time how that pans out. But those two teams, they're not even really making up the numbers right now. They're making up the goal difference for the teams above them. It's not an ideal situation, is it? Because I don't know what you get out of being beaten comprehensively every week. There's lessons to be taken from losing, certainly. But if you're losing all the time and you're not getting to play your football, I'm not sure who benefits. certainly the teams above them are scoring a lot of goals.
Well, the Rangers and Taipo.
It's obvious. And Rangers and Taipo, of course, you know, look thoroughly mid-table thanks to this.
Right.
You know, it's always interesting how a Hong Kong Premier League season is going to pan out, but these two look like they've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, especially Sham Shapur, the defense really looks quite woeful. I wanted to make a pun with woeful Taipo too, but I think that I leave that aside.
It's out there. People can make it themselves.
But then I think also what we've mentioned before, there seems to be no relegation in that season. So the motivation to maybe turn things around urgently is also not there.
No, it could be part of a long-term project and they've got a plan, and good luck to them if that's the case. What will be interesting, and I mean that in every possible sense, when the league returns after what's going to be an interesting December of cup competitions, it returns with the bottom two taking each other on. So, you know, that could be 0-0, could be 1-1, could be 15 each. possibly the biggest game of the season.
Absolutely. And yeah, in the end, one of them will have a point, at least.
Yeah, they could both be on points. Historic.
Exciting days. Yeah, so that's the big game to watch out for. And you just mentioned there will be a kind of a break. What is that about?
Well, it's Hong Kong football. I think that is the answer to all questions. So there is one more round of league fixtures proper, a full schedule, which, you know, wraps up November this weekend. There's a couple of games that need to be made up, which will be played in December. And then we get into the real business. The FA Cup, the Sapling Cup and the Senior Shield. And that'll take up all of December before we get back to the league in mid-January.
And by then, I think in January, they would play the eighth round. Almost halftime of the season then. But we're not there yet. So it's difficult yet to call a clear title contender. But Lim and Kitchi are the two that seem to fight it out between themselves.
Yeah, it'd be a shock if it wasn't those two, based on what we've seen so far. But, you know, plenty of time left in the season, and the cups can be a little bit disruptive, given that, you know, you're not playing the same team every week in them. Sapling Cup, certainly. So, you know, momentum there to be gained and to be lost, you'd think, in what is an action-packed December.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Okay, assuming we've got no correspondence to deal with, let's get to our news in briefs. You know, it's been a couple of weeks since the last pod, so who's got a passport? That's the big question.
Well, we already mentioned, right, a couple of players who are getting the passport sooner in process of getting one. We mentioned Mahama Awal, for example, last time out. There is also another player that just obtained his passport, who is currently playing for Kitchi, Jordan Brown. He previously played at HKFC for a couple of years and then also had a stint with Resources Capital and then kind of made a name of himself. He was born in England, moved to Hong Kong at the age of 16. So yeah, over the years, eligible for a Hong Kong passport. And now he eventually got one. And it made also news because of the name that he chose for himself.
Well, you said, you know, he's made a name for himself. It seems quite literally he's made a name for himself.
So the Cantonese, and please forgive me my pronunciation, the Cantonese name that he eventually chose, and because he has to choose a name when he gets the Hong Kong passport, he has to get a Chinese name as well in it, and he eventually looked for a Chinese name generator. This is what he explained, and then came up with the name Bat Seng Qi, which kind of would mean white quick person or like white quick runner. However, there's also like a kind of a funny reference in there, which I don't think it was intended. If it was, I'm deeply impressed, because like the Sheng Qi or the two characters, it's basically it's a name of the Chinese name of Stephen Chow, director of Shaolin Soccer.
Director and star of Shaolin Soccer.
Exactly. So hats off. I mean, this is a great name.
Well, we will see if he's developed the white iron leg.
The white Stephen Chow.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Another Hong Kong international that has made a name of himself is Matthew Orr, or also Matt Orr, had a great season with Kitchy in the last year, then had great performances in the ACL with Kitchy, also with the national team for the Asian Cup qualifier. And eventually this summer, he parted ways with Kitchy to join Guangxi in China League One. And even this departure did not go so smoothly, it seems.
Well, I hear you've got the inside scoop on exactly how not so smooth it went.
There is this story that is floating around that apparently Kitchy chairman and director Ken Ng has kind of referred to Matt Orr in the way that he decided to leave Kitchy as behaving like a wife in a loveless marriage.
It's a really interesting point of reference for someone to use. I'll just leave that hanging there.
And well, if you know, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, what's he casting himself in the club as? But yeah, the wife in a loveless marriage. So surely looking for something else. Fluttering his eyes over the border at China League One.
I think both of us will think that this is a very inappropriate way to refer to a player that wants to seek new challenges and specifically also wants to further his career, upping his level and so on. Yeah,
it reminds me of when Ian Holloway linked himself to the Hong Kong national team job and it was just an excuse to have a little think about what Ian Holloway might do in the circumstances.
You right. Know,
football has long had a history of people within the game, certainly the men's game, putting their foot in their mouth. And, you know, maybe it's reassuring that that hasn't changed along with everything else, but it is a strange way to describe what from the outside looks like a young footballer who has made great progress in the last few seasons, wanting to see his own career progress as best it can. And in turn, you'd think that would benefit Hong Kong football. So moving to China League One, as you've said before, this is something that Matt Orr seems to have set out as his path. China League One, impress there, maybe move on to a CSL side. You know, that's definitely, both of those are a step up from Hong Kong football in terms of the competition, in terms of the standard, in terms of the other players, in terms of the possibilities, the shop window that you put yourself in. So maybe it's sour grapes.
Yeah, very much sounds like it. Matt Orr now, he has become a regular at Guangxi. So he plays like, since he joined the team, almost every game. He hasn't scored yet as much as he used to. I think so far he scored one goal, also provided an assist. So still kind of trying to find his spot and again finding back to his goal scoring ability. But seems that he is on the right track. He seems to also enjoy it so far and also enjoying the challenge so far. And definitely has the eye on moving upwards later on. I think it's also interesting to mention here that Guangxi was the team earlier this season that had signed Sandro, another Hong Kong international.
Fair to say that maybe he's at the other end of his career.
Yes, that's a fair observation. But he also seemed to have fallen out of favor and is not anymore listed in the team squad of Guangxi. So Matt Orr now is the Hong Kong player there. And they also have a certain quota, I think, that limits the use of Hong Kong players in China League One. If you want to know more about this, just also plugged it here, Lester Chen wrote a very great article about Matt Orr and what he thinks about moving to China and this entire debate surrounding his move that happened in local media as well. So definitely check out this article.
And where can you check that out, Toby?
Offside.hk.
You heard it here.
Not affiliated with it whatsoever. Shameless plug.
Yeah. Other websites in Hong Kong football in English are probably available somewhere, but that's the best one. Okay, good news for Matt Orr. Less good news for Sandro. What about the other Hong Kong players who ply their trade in China?
Yeah, so even worse news for Tan Chun Lok, who is our maybe most respectable player in the Chinese Super League, playing for Guangzhou City FC, former R&F. And he came down again with a meniscus injury. And that seems to put him out of play for the foreseeable future. He has returned to Hong Kong for treatment and surgery. But yeah, it will take a while before he is back on the pitch. So definitely missing out the rest of the season in the CSL. And hopefully, again, being fully recovered and returned to his old form for the Asian Cup.
Whenever that might be.
So he should have some time.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, he'll be on the mend long before that, whenever it may be, in time for, you know, a new CSL season early next year. And on top of that, hopefully some games for the Hong Kong men's team. Anything? Feels like pretty much it.
Anything else to say?
Well, you know, I don't want to be the the wife in the loveless marriage of this podcast, but I'm certainly looking elsewhere right now. Yeah, so if you can get yourself to a game this weekend or in the coming weeks where you'll see some cup football, the big game of that will be Christmas Day and Boxing Day in the Senior Shield down at the Mongkok.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be there. You know, probably missing any partners who are in what will seem like a loveless relationship, given that football's come first. Delete that. No, and then the league will be back in January. Anything else to add, Toby?
No, that's it. Enjoy the World Cup and enjoy the Sapling Cup.
Enjoy all the cups. And if you get yourself to the football, a cup of beer, Blue Girl, or the other one. All right, cheers, Toby.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.